Father's business,
who are laying down their lives for the sheep,
who are getting on with the business of the kingdom,
who are not seeking great things for themselves,
but are busy laying down their lives for the sheep.
They will be ready.
1 Peter chapter 4,
verse 17.
It is time for judgment to begin with the household of God.
And if it begins with us,
what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
In many of our churches today,
we have this attitude that we want to get as many people through the doors as possible.
In America, we have what is known as cool churches.
The minister dresses cool
because he's trying to appeal to all the cool people outside.
And we give the people what they want.
And the idea is to get as many people through the door as possible.
And we market the gospel,
saying things like, God's got a great plan for your life.
Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
But we say, God's got a great plan for your life.
God's great plan for your life starts with a coffin in the ground.
He wants you to die to your sins.
And he'll keep on putting you into death.
Till finally he will resurrect you in the true power of God.
But today there is a shift away from what people consider old religious church.
And you hear people today say, we're the new generation.
We're going to the new level in God.
They keep talking about this new level in God.
Sometimes I lose count of how many levels we're supposed to have got to by now.
But you don't talk about sin and repentance anymore.
Because that's going to put people off.
But was that the way of the early church?
No, it was not.
1 Corinthians 14,
verses 24 to 25,
says, but if all prophesy,
and an unbeliever or an ungifted man comes in,
he is convicted by all.
He is called to account by all.
The secrets of his heart are disclosed.
And so he will fall on his face and worship God.
Declaring that God is certainly among you.
See, the early church did not speak messages that tickled people's ears.
Yet Their prophets did not prophesy life and success and victory. The prophets spoke forth the word of the Lord in such a way that when an ungifted or unbeliever came into their church, he was convicted of his sin. The secrets of his heart would be disclosed. And he would feel under such conviction of the Holy Spirit that he would fall on his face and worship God. Do people fall on their face in your church? Because they come under such conviction of sin. And people declare that God is certainly among you. That's how it was in the early church. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all together with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate themselves with them. But the people held them in high esteem. You see, you knew that if you tried to associate with the people of God, you're getting into a dangerous place. They probably heard about Ananias and Sapphira, tares in the church, who tried to ingratiate themselves with the leadership, try to impress people with how much they gave. And God cut them down right there in the church. None of the people dared to associate with them. Because they knew if you wanted to join the church, you had to be prepared to lay your old life behind. You may not be perfect yet, but you had to desire perfection. There was none of this, well, I'll just decide to become a Christian. Like I decide what I'm going to have for lunch today. A casual decision. Now they knew that if you're coming to Christ, that's a lifetime commitment. Old things are gone, behold, all things are now new. Today we seem to think that if we're serious about the Bible, no one's going to join with us. We'll always just have small, insignificant churches. These big churches, they have big influence. Wouldn't it be better if I had a big church? Not if you compromise the message, it wouldn't.
Ada kayi chakun balolok palubang awo ko dako gorop.
See, sometimes I'm amazed at the missionary efforts in these big churches. They're sending missionaries out all over the world. But what message are these missionaries bringing? God's got a great plan for your life. You can be a rich man, a powerful man of God. Just give into our church and you'll be blessed. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to make one convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice a son of hell as you are. What is the use if you get someone converted to become twice the son of hell as you are? Sometimes I think I should write a book saying twice the son of hell as you are. About much of the evangelism that goes on in the church today. See, people in the West, they give money to send missionaries out. And they think, oh, I'm going to Kenya, I'm going to Uganda to preach the gospel. And to be honest with you, often the people in Uganda or Kenya know more of the Bible than they do. Because the gospel that they are bringing is another gospel. And they think they're doing the work of God. But actually they're doing exactly what the scribes and Pharisees did. Drawing disciples after themselves. Making them twice the son of hell as they are. We need to understand the standard that God expects of us. Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, the standard God expects us to reach up to is the standard of love. And that's a far higher standard than the world has. If we look no different to the world, Jesus will not recognize us as his own when he returns. Those who are not true disciples of Jesus Christ have no place being in the holy household of God. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. The Apostle Paul says, do not associate with anyone who is immoral or covetousness, things like this. And he says, I don't mean the people of this world. Because you can't help bumping into immoral and bad people out there. But I'm talking about immoral and covetous and idolatrous people in the church. I wrote to you to not to associate with any so-called brother. If he is an immoral person or covetous, an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or a swindler, trying to squeeze money out of you, do not even eat with such a person. Do we not judge those within the church, the Apostle Paul says. He says, remove the wicked man from amongst you. The church is supposed to be the fellowship of the saints.
Amen.
The fellowship of the holy ones. Today in our efforts to make the church big, we are making the church acceptable to the world. And what we're doing is actively populating the church with tares and goats. Some of these books you read these days on techniques to reach the world should be renamed. How to fill your church with goats and tares. Because that's exactly what they're doing. And that's the worst thing we can do. Make someone think that they are wheat when they're actually a tear. Some people may say, well, no one's going to listen to us. If you hold on to such high standards. Well, as I said earlier, Jesus only began with 12 disciples. One of them betrayed him. The other denied him. And then all of them deserted him. You think you've got problems. Yet somehow God miraculously added to their number. The Bible speaks about evangelism as fishing. I will make you fishers of men, says the Lord. We can fish all night with our man-made seeker-sensitive services. But until we cast our nets on the other side of the boats, and fish in the way that Jesus told us to fish. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Then we'll never experience true success. God will only bless those things that are done His way. I believe God is looking for a people today who wish to be His true disciples, that He can then add people to them. A people who truly love the Lord their God. With all their soul, mind, and strength. And who love their neighbor as themselves. In a way that is obvious to those around. John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. Such people may not be the biggest church in the town. But they'll be the only one standing when Jesus returns. And separates the wheat from the tares. Going back to the parable of Matthew 13. In verses 28 to 30. The slave said to him, do you want us to go and gather up the tares? But the master said, no. For while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't God deal with these wicked people in the church? We get frustrated when we see wicked men in high positions. God is allowing the tares to be in the church for a time and season. So as not to uproot or damage his true sons. They only receive mercy on account of the true sons. In the same way, just one of God's children is worth more in God's eyes than the whole world put together. You see, if God would really deal with the church as it needs to be dealt with, this judgment may well affect the wheat also. But Jesus has set a day when he will judge the world in righteousness. And he says, well, first, gather up the tares. Bind them into bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Sounds very much like the preaching of John the Baptist. Luke 3:17. His winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor. And he'll gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Jesus explains to us how this is going to happen. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. And they will gather out of his kingdom. It's out of his kingdom. All stumbling blocks. Those who commit lawlessness. and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear today what the Spirit is saying to the church? You know, the tares are called the sons of the evil one. Many of us would consider a son of the devil. To be a Satan worshipping witch doctor. Or maybe one of these nasty soldiers from the LRA. Who kill innocent people and do brutal acts. Well, they may well be a son of the devil. But in the Gospel of John, when Jesus was speaking to highly religious Jews, children of Abraham, people were in divine covenant with God Himself. People who had made an effort to listen to Him. People who were even asking Him questions, engaging with Him. People who, according to John 8 and verse 31, people who had even believed in Him. Jesus calls these people children of the devil. It's a bit like going to your annual convention of your church. Standing up and calling them children of the devil. You wouldn't make too many friends there. Why did Jesus say that? Because they did the things the devil did. Every one of us has the potential to be the most self-centered, sadistic monster in all history. The only thing that stops us is circumstance of life, godly training, the restraint of the Holy Spirit, the mercy and grace of God. When some young little boys were taken by the LRA, took to southern Sudan to be trained as soldiers. They were taken back to their village and told to kill their mom and dad. Do all sorts of evil and terrible things. That boy never grew up thinking he'd ever do that. When he was playing with his brothers and sisters as a baby, the thought never crossed his mind that maybe one day he would be killing them. But it happened, didn't it? See, all of us have the potential for evil within us. Sometimes we think we're pretty good and we're pretty nice people. Every one of us has the flesh as much as everyone else.
And
sometimes it's just the circumstance of life. You just so happen to be born in a certain family that caused that evil to come out. Or maybe because you were born to godly parents. Because they have their influence upon you that protected you from many evil things in your life. You see, the Bible views parentage as both natural and spiritual. The Bible considers you are a son of whomever you follow. In John 8, verses 39-41, these Jews, these good upstanding Jews, they answered Jesus and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God." They were really spiritual people, weren't they? They consider themselves the children of God. But spiritual parentage is more important than natural parentage. Jesus called them the children of the devil because they wanted to do what their father did. Remember in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, the church of Smyrna, Jesus said to them about the Jews that lived amongst them. He said, "They say they are Jews, but are not. But are a synagogue of Satan." You see, who is a true Jew? One who is born a Jew. One who is circumcised in the flesh. No, one who is circumcised in the heart. Who walks the same way that Abraham their father walked. Abraham walked by faith and put God first in his life. We are his children if we walk in his same footsteps. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 11 and 12. "This is the message which you have heard from the beginning. That we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, but his brothers were righteous. Do not be like Cain. You are like Cain if you hate your brother. You are a son of whomever you follow. Whoever's character or actions you imitate. If you are a liar, you are a father of Satan, who is the father of lies, or you are a son of Satan. If you have hatred and unforgiveness in your heart towards a fellow believer, a brother, then you are of Cain, the evil one. If you sell God's people out so you can become rich, you are of Balaam, the false Christ. If the love of Christ is in you and comes out of you, then guess who you are of? You are of Christ. One like Christ. If you look good on the outside, but on the inside are full of poisonous bitterness, envy, hatred, and malice, then guess what you are? You are a tear. You may look like wheat from the outside, but you are a tear. As wheat produces fruit that is useful to those around them, so believers who have the fruit of the Spirit in their heart who learn to walk in the love of God by denying themselves, they become useful to those around them. These type of people will be classed as wheat. And they will be brought into the Father's barn at the return of Jesus, whilst the tares will be thrown into the furnace of fire. If Jesus came today, would he class you as wheat or a tear? Most people in the church just assume that they're wheat. But are they really? Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too, you appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Am I a different person because I met Jesus? Or am I the same as I have always been? Just now I have a religious veneer over the front, the coating. Do I know all the right words to use? Do Do I shout hallelujah and praise the Lord? But don't actually mean any of it. Husbands, do you truly love your wives in the same way as Christ loved the church? When Christ got angry with the church, he didn't go around beating the church. He deals with the church gracefully, with compassion and love. And he laid down his life for her. And in same way, we who are the men of the house should learn to lay down our lives for our wives. That doesn't mean we're still not the head of the household. But it takes a stronger man to lay down their life when they can be violent and nasty instead. Wives, do you genuinely respect and defer to your husband? Or do you constantly cut him down with your words? Even before others or even before your children? We could say to the young people in our churches, do people know you to be a Christian? Or would they be surprised if they found out? When Jesus returns, will he recognize you as his own? When he checks the fruit of your life, will it be good and healthy and nutritious? Like the wheat. Or poisonous like the tares. For the tares, it will be the worst day of their lives. Thrown away to the furnace of fire, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But for the wheat, it will be the best day. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear today? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.